A very good morning to you. We want to welcome you to Little Swatara this morning. We're so glad you joined us for worship. We just have two announcements we want to highlight, and then we're going to turn it over to the South Carolina mission team to share their reports on what happened in South Carolina. Our first announcement this morning is that the men's ministry will be meeting at Blue Star Restaurant at 7 a.m. on the 23rd. That's this Saturday. And we also just want to highlight that the leadership team is meeting on the 19th of this month with no meeting in August. So if you're a leader, make sure you have the 19th at 7 p.m. noted, and ministry teams are going to be meeting at that time. No ministry teams meet. That's a typo. So just leadership team is meeting on Tuesday. No meeting in August. So we invite the South Carolina mission team. Is anyone here from the South Carolina mission team? Come on down. We'd love to hear from you.
When I signed up to go along on the South Carolina mission trip, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I knew I might be doing some construction work, but I have no experience in that. I mean, I can paint, but that didn't help me at all that week. When I arrived at South Carolina, the site leaders told us we were building a house. I had a mini panic attack. But I knew God had my back, and that with him, I would be able to do anything. The first day, I was asked if I wanted to do mortaring. That term I have never even heard of. But I was willing to learn. By the end of the day, I was a pro at mixing the quickrete. I did mortaring for the next day, but I also learned how to do demolition with the mini sledge after some proper guidance of how to use the tool. It became my favorite. The rest of the week, I assisted with laying subflooring, which was not my absolute favorite thing to do. But I did it anyways. I was very thankful that I was willing to step out of my comfort zone and go on this trip. Thank you for all your prayers. Without the congregation's support, this trip would not have been possible. Thanks again.
So, I'm sorry, this is how I do my speeches. I don't plan. We went to South Carolina. The drive, you would not believe how long it feels to sit in a 15-passenger van for 10 hours. And this lovely lady was one of the two to volunteer to put up with us for that long.
It was a long trip.
We got there and they had some very, not quite what you would expect, accommodations in the local
Christian Orthodox.
Christian Orthodox Church. We had many an argument of what the name of the church actually was, because none of us could actually remember. No. We were working on the house of one Mr. Robert Zander, who had bought it as a fixer-upper to help with his PTSD. And then the flood came along, and it went from being a fixer-upper to almost a complete reconstruction. When we had gotten there, the house was all but stripped down to the studs and floor joists. It required a lot of work, and that's putting it lightly. Rich Yenser and I replaced the studs for at least one wall. We ripped out all of the flooring and replaced half of it with new floor. One team consisted of Katie Henning and almost the entire Yenser family went around and put on a complete new wall of siding. And we left the house in a much better condition than when we found it.
These guys are being modest. I have my notes, and I hope Matt's sermon isn't long this morning, because I intend to get long. When Mark came to me, he said, they're going on this mission trip to South Carolina. Would you like to go along as our cook? You can visit with your sister. My sister lived 10 minutes away from our housing and our work site. So I said, okay, and this will be a really nice family time. I'll be with Mark, I'll be with Savannah, and I'll be with Jack. Well, Mark decided he needed shoulder surgery. Savannah needed to go to school, and that left Jack and me to go. Well, Mark was going to drive one car, and I was going to drive the other. And since he wasn't driving, we decided we'd have to get another driver. Not only was I cook, but I was driver the whole time. Not the whole time, but going down and back, Kara and I traded turns. Then the district says, well, you can't drive with children in a car for more than 5.5 hours. That eliminated Kara driving one car and me driving the other. So we went in the 15-passenger van. And Jack's right, it was a long ride with the seats full of teenagers. But you really couldn't talk to them because each one had an earbud. So that went all right. It went really well going down. And I kept telling them I appreciated that I could go along, and I did get to visit with my sister and some of my family that I hadn't seen in over 2 years. I did cook for 13 people every day. I got up about 5:15 every morning, had their breakfast on, had their lunch meat out ready for their lunches. They packed their own lunches, had everything ready for them to pack, and when I left in the afternoon, I had the table set for dinner, because 13's a lot of people to cook for and plan for 3 meals. I think they were also very happy. I got all these notes and I haven't looked at them now. I think they were also very happy that my sister was within 10 minutes because on the 4th of July, we went there for a Southern picnic. I started out Monday morning with them with biscuits. I said, you have to have a taste of Southern food while you're here. So we had biscuits and scrambled eggs. The scrambled eggs went over real well. I don't think the biscuits, I think they went over like a lead balloon. So that night I warned them, I said, the Southern picnic is hash and rice and barbecue with a very strong mustard base. They were great. These kids tasted everything, and they ended up the evening with boiled peanuts. If you've never had a boiled peanut, I don't recommend it. Those Southerners, those Confederates, think they are great. The little four-year-old kept begging for more peanuts, and most of our youth liked them. I don't know what was wrong with them that night. Just to give you a little more in the conditions they worked in, it was 102 degrees on Monday when they went to work. They went through 40 water bottles. Tuesday, it was 102 degrees. They went through 70 water bottles. So thank you to whoever had 5 cases of water sitting in the classroom for us because we used it all. They never complained. They came back filthy, filthy, dirty at night. I told Kara on Thursday night, I said, you're leaving a path behind you. And she turned around and looked and I said, no, your buns are going bump, bump, bump. It was very hot and they really worked. To give you an idea of what, my sister came every day and helped me clean up after breakfast. She came and helped me clean up the breakfast, and we packed things for their lunches for the next day. So I did get to spend some time with her. Every day she would take me off to the grocery store. To give you a general idea, we had 6 pounds of bacon, 8 pounds of chicken, 30 chicken patties, 10 quarts of apple juice, 6 loaves of bread, 6 pounds of tater tots, $109 worth of lunch meat and cheese, and by the end of the week, we had about this much bologna. Jack had a peanut butter sandwich. 6 gallons of milk, 7 dozen eggs, 2 gallons of orange juice, and would you believe 15 pounds of grapes? They ate, they worked hard, and they ate, and they never complained once about my cooking. So I thought that was pretty good. The only minor things, I don't know if anything was said, JR's ladder went through the floor and he had a bloody nose and hit his head. Jack went down one day through the floor, and the last day Sarah Wanger went through the floor and we had to take her to emergency care. And there again, I was thankful for my sister. I said, where's the nearest emergency care? Where's the nearest hospital? So she got in the car and took us there. The week was a great week. Tim, who is in charge of everything, asked us at a debriefing on Friday night, what was our high point and what was our low point? And I said, I really didn't have any low points. But when I got home, I'm thinking, you know, there's not one picture of me up there. There isn't one. And I'm thinking, I saw my family. We didn't even think to take a picture, and I may not see them again for a couple years. So we should have had Mark along, and then I know I'd have had some pictures of my family. You're not one. Oh, leaving. That was embarrassing. I told the kids to be here at 5:30. Then I reneged and I said, nah, 5:45, we'll be packed and in the van at 6 o'clock to go. I woke up and heard my grandfather clock chime 5. To get here is a half an hour, and I had things to pack up and into the van. I pulled in here. I did a Gerhardt Reinhardt drive from my house to the church. They all forgave me, but we did leave. But anyway, my high point, I said, was just watching these youth. It was a high point. It was a blessing the whole week, just watching our youth, what they accomplished. The leaders down there said they were the best workers they've had there, and they accomplished more than any team that has been there. You saw the pictures. There was nothing but rotted floor. When they left, one whole side was sided. One whole side had new floor on, and Abby is over there putting cement mud stuff in the termite holes, and they just accomplished more. And I was so proud of them, and I was so glad that they asked me to go along. I want the church to know that they can be proud of their youth. Thank you for supporting us.
All right.
Thank you for sharing and for the work that Jesus did through you. At this time, I'd like to invite Sarah to give us a report. You see all these suitcases up here, and you're probably wondering, what in the world do we have all these suitcases up here for? And Sarah's going to give a report from VBS.
Well, the teachers and the staff and the students had a fantastic week at Bible school. And I just want to share about these suitcases. So the suitcases are to represent how much offering we collected. And we started out the week with each suitcase representing $50. And I'm not quite sure how many suitcases there are up here, but we don't have any more, and we've got more money. Friday evening, our offering collected was about $611. And our grand total for the week, I am so happy to say that we collected $1,932.02, so almost $2,000 during the week of Bible school. Now I see in the bulletin also that the mission of the month, which is Bible school, has collected $102. So I believe, if my math and I understand correctly, that's over $2,000 for our mission, our service project at Bible school, which is child disaster services. The volunteers who show up on the scenes of disasters to help minister to the kids while the grown-ups take care of all the official business stuff. So way to go, everybody. Thank you so much for your support. We had a fantastic week.
Would you please rise for our opening hymn, 165?
rhythm keeps a rockin' and a roll up. I can feel it movin' when I sing this song. What a thrill to feel it movin' on and never stoppin'. Deep within my heart it keeps a rollin' and a rockin'. Rollin' and a rockin' and a rockin' and a rollin'. It's a happy rhythm in my soul, brother. Let me tell you how I feel, tell you about a feeling, feeling that is real, brother. Let me tell you how the glory rolls, tell you how it bubbles in my happy soul. Happiness is free, it's never bought or sold. Let me tell you how I feel, let me tell you. There's a happy rhythm keeps a rockin' and a rollin'. I can feel it movin' when I sing this song. What a thrill to feel it movin' on and never stoppin'. Deep within my heart keeps a rollin' and a rockin'. Rollin' and a rockin' and a rockin' and a rollin'. It's a happy rhythm in my soul, in my soul. There is music ringing deep within my soul. I can feel it bubble, I can feel it roll. Then I get the feeling that I want to shout. Makes me feel so good, I'm going to move about. Brother, there could never be a single doubt. I can feel the happy rhythm. Happy rhythm keeps a rockin' and a rollin'. I can feel it movin' when I sing this song. What a thrill to feel it movin' on and never stoppin'. Deep within my heart it keeps a rollin' and a rockin'. Rollin' and a rockin' and a rockin' and a rollin'. It's a happy rhythm in my soul, in my soul. There's a happy rhythm keeps a rockin' and a rollin'. I can feel it movin' when I sing this song. What a thrill to feel it movin' on and never stoppin'. Deep within my heart it keeps a rollin' and a rockin'. Rollin' and a rockin' and a rockin' and a rollin'. It's a happy rhythm in my soul, in my soul.
Rolling and a rocking. We pray you have a happy rhythm in your souls this morning. We come to that time of sharing joys and concerns and invite you to share any that you may have as a microphone comes around. We do want to just add the Haiti mission team that you would continue to pray for us as we prepare for fundraising and the mission that's before us. We don't know exactly what we're going into, but we have an idea and just pray you would prepare our hearts of those on the Haiti mission. And there's still open availability if anyone's considered that, to please just let Ashley Nanlis know as soon as possible, so we can include you as part of that mission team. And also keep our brother Gerhardt in your prayers. He's at St. Joe's right now and awaiting diagnosis. So our brother Gerhardt as well. Any others this morning to share? We, of course, want to keep the children from VBS in prayer, that they would continue to stay on fire for the Lord and know that he deeply cares for them and that he's sending them into this world to show that his love. Yes.
Well, I have good news. I have Pete with me this morning for
Give
the first
applause,
time.
Give a round of applause, Brother Pete, in the house.
Months.
Amen. Good to see you, brother.
I have a joy. I'm a loudmouth, so I'm going to embarrass some people. I have great friends with me this weekend up from my school, up from college down in Philly. I love them very much. It's been a wonderful weekend. I'm glad they could come up and say travels for tonight when they go home.
Welcome. We're glad you're here with us.
I just want to say thank you to everyone who's been praying for my family. My aunt is still awaiting her diagnosis. She goes tomorrow for her biopsy. Her name is Bonnie Johnson. Her daughter, Jessica, who had the baby very early, is doing well. The baby is up to 2 pounds. He's 2 weeks old, and they're going to remove the breathing tube this week, so keep praying for them. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together in your house. We pray, Father, that you would begin to move in our midst, to stir in our hearts and in our minds, to begin to conceive how great you are in our lives, and that indeed that happy rhythm would be within our souls. We pray, Father, for the concerns of our hearts, many not mentioned, but Father, you know precisely what they are, and we lift them to you. We pray for those on our prayer list, Lord. We think of Jen and Pete and Carol and Orwin and Jean and Catherine and Naomi and Richard and Gage and Brock and Tim and June and Mike and Melissa and Barb and Pat, Timmons' dad Ray and Carl and Faye and their transition. And we lift up the Haiti mission team to you and Gerhard. And we pray for Bonnie Johnson, Lord, awaiting diagnosis, Lord, that you would give her peace. And we pray that as the master physician, you would just enter into each of these situations and allow your presence to be known by each of them. We think of Savannah's friends here with us today, and we're just so thankful they could join us, and just pray you would bless them, Lord, and just allow them safe travels as they depart this evening. And just thank you, God, for continuing to be in our midst. And we just pray now, Father, as we go to you in silent prayer, that you would hear the prayers of our heart and also our prayers of confession. Father, we praise you that we have forgiveness through the cross. Not a day goes by that we are not a thankful people for your mercies and your compassion that is upon us day in and day out. We thank you, God, that we can turn to you when we're going through a rough spell in our lives, Lord. We can come to you and we can talk to you like a friend. And we thank you that you can be a father figure for us and that we can turn to you and ask you to just guide us through your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Father, that through the forgiveness, we would live in that freedom that you offer us and that we would be mindful of others who may not know you, Father, and share that truth, that testimony of what you've done in our lives. And we just thank you, God, for being here in this place, meeting us here exactly where we are. And we pray indeed that you would be glorified. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Coming, Jubilee's a-coming, coming in the by and by. Gonna go flying, flying up to the sky. When I see my Jesus, when I see my Jesus coming down after me. Gonna go to meet him, what a glad Jubilee.
Jubilees are coming, it's a-coming in the morning. What a happy time it's gonna be. Better be a-praying, better get yourself a-ready if you wanna see the Jubilee. Everybody's gonna be shouting and a-singing. Everybody's gonna be free. Everybody's gonna be happy at the Jubilee. Gonna wear a crown, I'm gonna wear it in the morning. Wear it in the glory land. Gonna play a harp, I'm gonna play it in the morning. Everything's gonna be so grand. Voices by the millions will be singing when I join them. Join the happy song of victory. Gonna be a shouting and a singing at the Jubilee.
One of these mornings, gonna put on my crown. Into that city, gonna just walk around. Gonna be a shouting, gonna shout victory. Gonna be a singing, what a glad Jubilee.
Jubilees are coming, it's a-coming in the morning. What a happy time it's gonna be. Better be a-praying, better get yourself a-ready if you wanna see the Jubilee. Everybody's gonna be a-shouting and a-singing. Everybody's gonna be free. Everybody's gonna be happy at the Jubilee. Gonna wear a crown, I'm gonna wear it in the morning. Wear it in the glory land. Gonna play a harp, I'm gonna play it in the morning. Everything's gonna be so grand. Voices by the millions will be singing when I join them. Join the happy song of victory. Gonna be a shouting and a singing at the Jubilee.
Jubilees are coming, it's a coming in the morning. What a happy time it's gonna be. Better be a praying, better get yourself a ready if you wanna see the Jubilee. Everybody's gonna be shouting and a singing. Everybody's gonna be free. Everybody's gonna be happy at the Jubilee.
Everybody's gonna be happy at the Jubilee.
Gonna wear a crown, I'm gonna wear it in the morning. Wear it in the glory land. Gonna play a harp, I'm gonna play it in the morning. Everything's gonna be so grand. Voices by the millions will be singing when I join them. Join the happy song of victory. Gonna be a shouting and a singing at the Jubilee, Jubilee. Gonna be a shouting and a singing at the Jubilee.
We praise you, Father, for the gift of music. Thank you, faithful men, for sharing your gifts and story through music with us. In Hebrews 13, 15 to 16, it reads, "Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." Father, we thank you for the ultimate sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, on the cross. And we know through his example of giving all that we too surrender and pray with a cheerful heart, we would give in response to that great act. We thank you, Father, for each blessing you have bestowed upon your people and pray in that abundance we would bless others. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Invite the children, come join me up front. What would you do if you walk by your teacher's desk and you see a dollar laying on the floor in front of it? What would you do?
I would say to my teacher, "I found this dollar. I would like you to have it." That was exactly what I was going to say. I found a dollar on the floor, I picked it up, and I gave it to my teacher. That's the right choice. What's the wrong choice to do? Go ahead.
To keep it for yourself.
That's right. Look around and see if anyone's looking, and then stuff it in your pocket and run away.
That's not really nice.
No, it's not the good thing to do. What would you do if you're walking home from school and you see a bag like this laying on the ground? You pick it up, you open it, and you see there's a whole ton of cash in there. What would you do?
I would go take it to the bank.
Take it to the bank. Well, why not you take it to the police?
Well, because maybe they would think I would steal it.
Would you tell your parents and report it? Or would you say, wow, this is my lucky day, and keep it for yourself?
No.
No? I'm going to tell you a story that has to do with a lot of cash. And you tell me if this guy did the right thing, okay? Hector Rodriguez is a 15-year-old high school student. One day, Hector found a bag of money containing 120 bucks in it. He found it on top of the Coke machine. He took it to his teacher. The two of them went to the principal's office to turn in the money. When they were asked him, why didn't he just keep it for himself? Do you know what he said? It's not my money. And is this the right thing to do?
Yes.
Yes, this was the right thing to do. When we hear stories like this, it may make us stop and ask ourselves, what would I have done if I found all that money in a bag?
You would have gave it away.
You would have gave it away. To find the answer to that question, you think back to the dollar on the floor. What would you have done in that situation?
Well, if I had some money, it was extra, then I would just put it in a bag.
If you found money, you would just put it in a bag, okay. You see, honesty is not the question. What's your?
If I found $100, I would share it with my friends.
If you found $100, you would share it with your friends. That's nice. You see, honesty is not the question of how much money is involved. It's about doing the right thing. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story about a rich man who had a manager, and the manager who was using the man's money for himself. The rich man discovered that the manager was wasting his money, so he called him in and fired him. After telling this story to the disciples, Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with very much. And whoever is dishonest with the very little can be very dishonest with much." If we make sure we're honest with the small things, we'll be sure to make the right choices with the big things. And then we can be trusted with small things as well as big things. Let's pray. Dear Father, help us remember what Jesus taught us about honesty and help us to be honest in every situation, big or small. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys go back to your seats. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Am I early?
Oh, hi, Barn. Come on in. I'll be with you in a minute.
Have a cup of coffee, Barney.
Okay, thank you, N.B.
Just getting Opie straightened out a little bit on his schoolwork.
Oh, yeah? What's the problem, Op?
History.
Oh. Opie, if it makes you feel any better, I never was much at history either.
Weren't you, Andy?
No.
Oh, that's funny. History was right up my alley.
What? I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. History was one of my best subjects.
It was?
Well, yeah, don't you believe me? Well, ask me something. Go ahead, ask me anything.
Okay, what was the Emancipation Proclamation?
You kidding? Everybody knows that.
Well, good. That'll be easy for you then. Go ahead, tell us about it.
Oh, you're kidding. That's one of the most famous proclamations in history.
I know.
I bet you even Opie knows that one. Go on, tell him, Op. Tell him about the Emancipation Proclamation.
I never heard of it.
You never? I don't know what they're teaching them these days. You tell him, Aunt Bee.
Me? I wasn't there, Lansing.
Well, I guess it's up to you, Barn. Listen to this, Op. You might learn something. Go ahead, Barn.
Well, the Emancipation Proclamation... How do you like that? Spot right there on my uniform. Guess I ought to be sending this out to the cleaners. Now, you was asking about the...
Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm all ears.
Yeah, you always was. Well, the Emancipation Proclamation... was a proclamation's what it was.
What was it about?
About emancipation. What do you think it was about? What was it about? Use your head, man. It's common knowledge. There was these folks, and how else was they going to get themselves emancipated unless there was a proclamation? So they got themselves a proclamation, and they called it the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah,
and I'm surprised at you for not knowing that, Andy. And I'll tell you something else. I'm even more surprised that you think and I don't know about the Emancipation Proclamation.
We're still waiting for you to tell us about it.
Well, if you get so smart alecky about it, maybe I'm not even gonna tell you.
Let's be honest, like Barney, at one point or another in our lives, we've all stretched the truth. We've all exaggerated or told a teeny tiny white lie. I remember growing up making up all sorts of stories just to go to my friend's house, when all along my parents knew exactly where I was going. I guess as the saying goes, I forgot my parents weren't born yesterday. But aren't kids almost too good at making up stories? There was this one little boy who told his mom he shot a polar bear in grandma's backyard, and they ate it for dinner. The problem was grandma lived in South Carolina. And parents, we aren't all that much different. How many times have we told our kids, I'll be there in a minute? And an hour, two, three, four, we show up. Or one I know I've been guilty of. Our child is running and he falls and he scrapes his knees. And we say, hop up, you're okay. Maybe it was me trying to convince myself. But I have a feeling in the moment if our child could have spoke, he would have said, look at me, Dad. Do I look like I'm fine? These stories all seem innocent enough. But do you remember when the lying went too far? And it caused a broken relationship. Maybe it's a relationship where the two of you don't even speak to this day. While this pattern continues in our lives, few people understand how destructive it can be or how to even stop it. As parents, grandparents, or any maturing believer, we must be careful to set the example. So the essential question is this: if lying creates such headaches, then why do we do it? Could it be we can't help ourselves? The tongue is such a wildfire, it says whatever it wants. The words slip out that we know aren't true, but we say them anyway. Now, by definition, a lie is something with the intent of creating a false belief or impression. It's an attempt to get someone to believe something that's not true. It can also be an action. In the Hebrew language, it means emptiness or worthlessness, falsehood, vanity, to deceive. From the beginning, the Old Testament people lied and were condemned for it. Eve accepted Satan's lie in the garden. Cain killed his brother and attempted to cover his sin with a lie. You see, from these moments in history, lying became characteristic of humankind separated from God. Yet the ninth commandment tells us bearing false witness is what? Forbidden. Friends, there's no doubt. There's massive confusion in our world. There's no doubt we don't always know what to believe. But it bids us well to keep in mind there's tremendous power in our words. Our words can hurt, but God's words can heal. Can you repeat that with me this morning? Our words can hurt, but God's words can heal. That's why it is so critical, so very important to pause before we speak. Whatever it takes, keep the truth of God's word upon your heart, and we can be assured it will be upon our lips. Could you imagine the difference in the world if we only took that very brief moment to consider what we're about to say? I'll confess, and I would hope you would too, we're often so quick to respond. Sometimes a lie may seem unintentional, or it may have been told to save someone's feelings. So we might say, "Hey, you're looking really good today. I love that sweater." When the person knows very well it's ugly because it's ugly sweater day. At times we'll deceive other people thinking it serves our purposes. Tad Williams said this, "We tell lies when we are afraid. Afraid of what we don't know. Afraid of what others will think. Afraid of what will be found out about us." But every time we tell a lie, the thing that we fear grows even stronger. And that fear surrounds what might happen if we tell the truth. Other times it's because of pride. As we'll see in our passage, we lie to create a favorable image of ourselves. It can lead to exaggeration and creating fascinating yet completely false stories to improve what others think of us. I'd like to call myself an avid fisherman, but when people ask me, "So how'd fishing go today?" I always make up a tall tale. "Well, I caught a largemouth bass and it was this big." Now, I don't know about you, but I often wonder when people say, "I've caught this big of a fish," how many people have actually caught that big a fish? In reality, if I were to tell the truth, I've been catching a lot of smallmouth bass, and they're about this big. But the absolute worst thing that can happen is we become identified as the person who no one takes serious. And friends, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we have the greatest truth to be told. When we're standing next to that brother or sister who needs that hope, whose world is being consumed by the enemy, we need to be taken seriously. The good news that our God saves can't get any truer. The fact that Jesus died on a cross that our sins might be forgiven is the difference between fullness in life and the ho-hum lifestyle we're all so used to. He rose from the grave that not only we have life to the full, but we also have life eternal. Friends, this is the kind of truth that sets us free, that breaks every chain that holds us captive. Friends, there is power. There is power in the name of Jesus. Many of us have lived long lives here on earth. We have spent considerable time studying God's word. The time is here where the truth matters the most. We cannot and I repeat, cannot give in to the gray areas all around us, that it doesn't matter what we believe. We know that the Bible is the Word of God. It declares itself to be God-breathed, inerrant, and authoritative. We also know that God does not change his mind or contradict himself. So while the Bible itself may not explicitly argue for what is known as sola scriptura, it most definitely does not allow for any movement that contradicts its message. Friends, please, please beware of unbiblical, extra-biblical, or anti-biblical doctrines. The only way to know what God expects of us is to stay true to what he has revealed. And friends, what has he revealed? His word to us through the Holy Scriptures. Lying may seem simple and harmless at first, but like any other addiction, we'll find ourselves trapped, we'll find ourselves entangled more than we ever thought. But consider, the opposite is true when we're honest, when we tell the truth. There's total peace. There's no worries. And as Mark Twain put it, if we tell the truth, we don't have to remember anything. All those lies prior building up, we don't have to keep the story straight. We don't have to worry about anyone catching on to what's really up because we've told the truth. So friends, I invite you to Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And let's see how lying panned out for this couple. It begins, "Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, 'Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God.' When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, 'Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?' 'Yes,' she said, 'that is the price.' Peter said to her, 'How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also.' At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events." Now keep in mind, up until this point, the believers were sharing everything they had in common. They understood all they had belonged to God. And when a brother or sister had need, those who could meet that need felt obligated to do so through the Spirit's promptings. So what was happening is when a need arose, they sold property and gave all the money to the apostles to distribute accordingly. They would actually bring the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. But for whatever reason, Ananias decides to keep part of his money back for himself. Now listen closely. In and of itself, this is not a sin. When we give, we decide in our hearts what we'll give. What we gather here is that they had promised, perhaps even publicly, that they were giving the full amount they received to the Lord. So in placing the money at the apostles' feet, they pretended it was the entire amount. So the outward sin here is lying about how much they would give to the church, but the deeper, more devastating sin was their spiritual hypocrisy based on selfish desires. We can be convinced, had they owned up to what they were doing, explained their reasoning for reducing the amount given, it would be more than adequate. But what Peter says to them is that they were satanically inspired, in contrast to what the believers, such as Barnabas in the verse before them, were doing with their spirit-filled gesture in giving all. What's tragic is that Ananias and Sapphira lied to the ever-present Holy Spirit within them. It wasn't out of greed that they were punished, but falsehood and hypocrisy. They were under no compulsion whatsoever to give every last cent they sold that property for. The early church wasn't absolute, but strictly voluntary, much like today. But this action demonstrates clearly Ananias sought to deceive the Christians by trying to gain a reputation for greater generosity than he deserved. By deceiving the church, he deceived the Holy Spirit, and in that attempt, he deceived God. Ananias allowed Satan to control his heart rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to fill him. And brothers and sisters, how many times in our lives has this occurred without us even knowing it? We're very brethren. We know, as Jesus has taught, to let our yes be yes and our no to be no. Rightfully, these people became afraid about the seriousness of hypocrisy and sin in the church. And it serves us well to always remember, our earthly death is the consequence of that sin. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. But friends, the story does not end there. This earthly tent will one day be destroyed, but a new heavenly body awaits us as we trust and obey in the Lord. And it goes on to say in that verse, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There's not room in our lives to test the Spirit of the Lord. Putting the Spirit to the test means seeing how far we can go in disobeying God. In this case, lying to Him before God will judge. Might I say that this is very, very risky business. And these events should produce sobering effects on our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that the truth is before us in your word. We confess, Father, there are times we stretch that truth because we think it's easier to lie than to tell the truth. But Father, we know that you command us to never bear false witness. And we're asking you now in this very moment for your forgiveness. But Father, even more so, we're asking for your guidance through the Holy Spirit to be ever mindful of our word and actions. Help us, Father, to take that moment of pause, to think before we speak. Help us, Father, to love one another in truth. For we know that your Son, Jesus himself, has showed us the right thing to do and say. May your will be done as you lead us into the truth that indeed allows us to be free. In Jesus' most precious name, amen.
Would you please rise for our closing hymn, 611.
Thank you.
And as the sun very soon comes riding in on that cloud, may he find us all faithful. May he find us speaking the truth in love. May he find us bearing one another's burdens and sharing in this life that we call full and alive because of what Christ has done. Go in peace. Go knowing that Christ died, that your sins might be forgiven, and that in that truth you might be set free. Amen.